Good morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm a hearings officer. I will be hearing the case before us this morning, which is case number LU18195682LDS. That number is important, and if you didn't write it down, which virtually no one does, if you go over to the table in the back, there's some staff reports, and on the top portion of it, it has that number. And that number you're going to find has two important parts to it, or functions that as we move along, you'll see why you kind of need to know that, but you don't have to memorize it, obviously. Today is September 24th, 2018, and it's about 9 o'clock in the morning by our clock, and we're at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue in Suite 3000, Portland, Oregon. I know you know where you are. I know you know what time it is. That's not trying to insult anyone's intelligence. But the first thing that number is important for is this is a recorded hearing, okay? So anyone who speaks today is going to be using a microphone. It's a small room. It's very disconcerting when other people are talking other than people at the microphone. So please, if you have something to say, please do it at the microphone. If you wish to listen to this recording, you would go over to that table where you picked up staff reports, and there's some cards. And on those cards, it has the City of Portland Hearings Office website. And if you go to that website and you look for hearing recordings, it will lead you into a process that says you need to know that number. And that number that I told you about sit on the top of the staff report will get you into the recording. And a lot of times people come to these hearings and leave before it's all done, and they want to know what happened at the end. And it's a good way to listen to it. A lot of people want to just simply listen to it to see what did the hearings officer say, or what other people say, or what did I really say. So those are always good things to know. I talk about myself very shortly. My name is Greg Frank. I am a hearings officer. I'm on contract with the City of Portland to do land use cases, all right? I was here for about 16 years full-time as a hearings officer and heard just one or two land use cases during that tenure. At this point in time, I talk it's necessary about any bias, conflicts, or interests or knowledge that I have of the case. I will tell you first that I have met the staff planner. I know him only professionally as appearing in hearings. I do recognize one of the folks in the audience, Ms. Radelet, who was a planner here at the City of Portland before. I haven't seen her in an awful long time and don't see either of these people socially, and it doesn't affect my decision one way or another, at least in my opinion. The other disclosure is that I was raised as a little kid, believe it or not, even old people were little kids, and I was raised about 3.5 blocks from here, all right? So I am familiar generally with this property and the location. I lived between Burnside and Gleason, but about 3.5 blocks away. I haven't been out to this location for quite a long time, so I don't believe that affects my decision-making ability either. So I don't believe I have any particular bias in this case. I don't believe that I have any particular conflicts of interest. If anyone in the audience who's here does believe that I have a conflict of interest or a bias and would like to discuss it further, this is the only time I allow people to talk from the audience. Does anybody not want me to hear this case? All right, seeing none then, I will proceed to hear the case. And the rest of this stuff is all going to be about what you get to do and what the process is. And it takes longer than most people like, certainly longer than my clerks like. But I will tell you that it's really important things to me because it talks about what this process is. First of all, if you haven't got a staff report, please get one. Because the staff report contains what the staff believes to be the relevant approval criteria in this case. Most people don't come to land use cases all the time, all right? They don't come to these kind of hearings all the time, so they're not going, what is a relevant approval criteria? And I will tell you that a relevant approval criteria can be substituted for the law, okay? What is the law in this case? What are the rules that we've got to follow in this case? Staff selected what staff believes to be the relevant laws or rules. You may differ with that. And if you do, I need to know what it is that you differ. Did they include too many approval criteria, too few approval criteria, or did they misapply, in other words, misinterpret or or didn't look at it correctly. Those are really, that's good testimony. All right, speaking of testimony, everyone here will get an opportunity to testify one time. Everyone will get an opportunity to testify one time. There's a couple exceptions to that rule, okay? And I don't make these up. These are part of state law, in essence. So I'm telling you that you get one time. When you get that time, there is no time limit on you. That doesn't mean this is like a filibuster. We talk as long as we can. But if you got something to say, you need to say it today, all right? And the reason I say that is if you picked up a staff report, you'll notice one of the very first things on the staff report, and I'm going to read it because it's that important. It says, it is important to submit all evidence to the hearings officer. City Council will not accept additional evidence if there is an appeal to this proposal. In other words, it's either speak now or forever hold your peace. So if you've got a topic, bring it up today. Don't save the good stuff. Bring it up today. Second part of that sentence, or those two sentences are important, is my decision may not be the final decision in this case. It is possible that if somebody disagrees with my decision in this case, it will be appealed to City Council. That is where you would be limited if you didn't bring up a topic today or in this hearing process, you will lose that right. And I don't want you to lose the right, so when you're up here, tell me what it is you think. Not all testimony that I hear in these hearings relates to relevant approval criteria. I wish it was, but I don't want to put a limitation on you because I want to make sure you tell me what you believe is important, all right? So I was talking about who gets to testify. Everybody gets to testify once. Before we're done, you'll realize who gets to testify twice. After I finish, I will turn it over to the staff. Staff is going to be using that screen. I didn't design the room, so please don't get upset with me, but if you are sitting anywhere in this half, the door half of the room, sometimes it's harder to see that screen, and if you wish to move towards the window side, please feel free to do that, okay? Because it's kind of hard to see that screen. I don't know if anybody else is going to be using the screen, but staff will be. So I speak, staff speaks, and then I will ask for the applicant and or the applicant's representative. If there is an applicant, an applicant's representative, or a consultant or whatever, there are two microphones up here. We can bring two people up at a time, and I'm going to have you come forward. All right, so we've got myself, staff, applicant or applicant's representative, and then anyone in support of, in favor of, who thinks the proposal that is in this staff report is a good idea. They testify. Following all of the testimony in favor or in support, there would be an opportunity for anyone in opposition. People are always telling me, well, I'm not really an opponent. Don't characterize me as opponent, but I'm kind of concerned. I have issues. I have questions. I don't care what you have. If you haven't spoken during the supporter side and you have something to say, speak, okay? Come up and give me your testimony. It's really important, okay? So we have supporters. We have opposition. When all the opposition testimony is completed, then I'm going to turn it over to the staff for any final comments staff may have. That's their second opportunity. They get two. And then at the end, I'm going to turn it over to the applicant and the applicant's representative for any final comments they may have. Most people that are new to these kind of hearings ask, well, why does particularly the applicant or applicant's representative get to speak twice? And the simple reason is under state law, the applicant has the burden of proof to show that each and every one of the approval criteria have been satisfied, okay? That's their job. If you think about it from a kid's situation, teeter-totter, the applicant has the burden to tip the teeter-totter ever so slightly in their favor. Doesn't mean like a criminal case that they tip it way over there beyond a reasonable doubt. They just gotta tip it ever so slightly. But because they have that burden, the state of Oregon laws have given them an opportunity to have the final word. So, you will get one opportunity to speak unless you are the staff or the applicant or applicant's representative. All right? A couple more things that I think are important. What is in the public record? I think a lot of people are concerned about how I make my decision or how anyone would make a decision and what's going to influence that decision. Well, testimony certainly is going to affect it if it relates to the relevant approval criteria. Anything, excuse me, that you submit in writing today or any other time will be considered. in making my decision so long as it relates to the relevant approval criteria. And whatever you submit goes into my green file, all right? And the hearings office, that's this floor, the hearings office has this file until I issue my decision, right? I issue my decision within 17 days of the date the record closes. I don't know when that's going to be, but I'll talk about it shortly, all right? So this file is going to be very important. And at the end, if I had a gavel, and all the time I was here, I always wanted a gavel, but because I wanted to be able to say the hearing's closed, all right? But since I don't have a gavel, I will say the hearing's closed, if in fact nobody's asked for it to keep, to be kept open, all right? So if I close it today, no new information comes in except for one thing, and there's a red file right here that I could probably reach if I really was uncoordinated and reached over and got it. But if I actually got that file right now, I could keep it. I'm going to give the Bureau staff an opportunity at the end of the hearing, immediately after I go with down with my fingers and say the hearing's closed, he gets to give that to my clerk. No, once I say the hearing's closed, no one else gets to do it, okay? So if you've got something to give me, give it to me at your testimony or before I say the hearing's closed. Okay. How do you see this file, the one that's in my hand and the red file? How would you ever see that? How would you ever get to look at it? Go out the door, take a left. There's a very imposing looking window there. Okay. You're the nice people. We have some really nasty people come here. All right. So go to that window. Say, give them that file number. Remember the file number I said had two purposes? This is the second one. You give the clerk the file number, they will put you in our hearing room. You will be able to look at the file. If you want copies made, you will be able to make any copies you wish made. This is the city, so we will charge you for those copies. And if you ask for a really a lot of stuff, we may not be able to get it immediately because right now you're looking at the sole clerk in the hearings office, and so just not a lot of people to make copies, so please be patient with us. So that's how you see what's in the file. Second thing that's really important in these kind of cases is the record open, okay? Remember I said at the end of the hearing, if I could, I'd drop my hand or my gavel and say it's closed? There's an exception to that rule. If anyone who testifies today says, I want the record to remain open, or anything really close to that, then the record will remain open for not less than 7 days for the submission of new evidence and an additional 7 days for applicant's final argument. Okay? So, if you ask, you shall receive. Okay. If somebody does that, at the end of the hearing, I will talk about how that information gets into the record. So, if you're leaving early, and you don't know if the record's remaining open, you need to listen to that recording to see if the record remained open and how you get the information into the file, okay? So, I will not remind anyone of this right again. And I've had a couple occasions over my last 17 or 18 years, but I've had a couple occasions where somebody right at the end of the hearing and I say the hearing's closed. Well, I meant to ask for the record to remain open. It's too late. I'm telling you now, make a note, if you want the record to remain open, you must ask for it, all right? All right, the last thing I have is I don't do site views. I told you already that I'm generally familiar with this area. I'm generally familiar with this property, only because I grew up in the area and it was there when I was there. And so you don't have to tell me that I need to go out and take a look at the property now. Even if you asked me and I wasn't familiar, I wouldn't go because I need to disclose everything that I generate in my mind when I go out and look at that property, and because it may affect my decision. And so I'm going to make my decision based on what's in the record. Now, in other words, what documents are in the record and what you say today, okay? That's what I'm going to make my decision. And I think it's fairer to you, actually. So with that, then, I don't have anything else that I wish to tell you. If I think of something I forgot, I'll remind you as we go. This would be the time and the place for the staff representative. When you do testify, please, first name, last name, spell your last name. Do it slowly because I take really good notes. But do it slowly, and we need your address. Anyone who testifies today will be sent a copy of my decision. If you're shy and don't want to testify today, that's fine. At the end of the hearing, would you come up and give the clerk your name and address, and we'll mail you a copy of a decision to you anyway, even if you haven't testified. So I need your name and address for that purpose. All right, I'm going to turn it over to staff. This is time for staff presentation. Name and address, please.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. My name is Sean Williams, BDS staff planner, 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201.
Go ahead, sir.
All right, before us today, we have land use case file 18-195682, also known as the Park Rose Little League site. For a summary of the proposal, it's a subdivision to create 32 lots, all four attached houses. We have a new north-south public street, northeast 134th Avenue, and a new east-west public pedestrian connection. Two private alley tracks are proposed to provide vehicle access to all of the lots. The existing development will all be removed, which consists of the ball field and associated structures. New utilities will be located within the public street and private alley tracts. And there are no trees located within the site, subject to preservation standards. So here's a zone map of the property. It's zoned residential 2000 R2, which allows a max density of one unit per 2,000 square feet. It's also located within the alternative design density overlay, which is not being utilized for this proposal. It's located within a design overlay, so future development is subject to either community design standards or design review, and it's additionally located within the East Corridor Plan District. Here's an aerial photo of the site. You can see it has frontage on East Burnside Street. You can see the site's pretty much taken up entirely by the ball field. Mostly you have single-family development around the surrounding area with some more multi-dwelling structures and development on East Burnside. Next, we're going to walk through some site photos. This is looking east on East Burnside. So you can see the max line runs down Burnside there. And then to the left, you'll see the ball field. This is on the looking the opposite direction, looking west from East Burnside with the site to the right. This is on the western portion of the site, looking north from East Burnside. And then just kind of scanning over. This is along the eastern portion of the site, looking kind of northwest there. And this is from the interior of the site, looking south towards East Burnside. And just a little parting shot of the Little League site scoreboard there. So the approval criteria for this review is 33.660.120, approval criteria for land divisions in open space and residential zones. And then we'll just run briefly through some of the approval criteria here. So initially for lots, in multi-dwelling zones, you subtract the area for streets. So after you take out the area for the new north-south public street and the pedestrian connection, which is also considered a street, you end up with a minimum density of 23 units and a maximum density of 35 units. So the proposal is included for 32 lots for attached houses that range in size from 1,600 to just under 3,000 square feet. And all the proposed lots meet the minimum lot dimension standards for attached houses in the R2 zone. Transportation impacts. A transportation impact study was submitted to address this criterion. It was determined that all nearby intersections will continue to operate within acceptable city standards. Sufficient access will be provided via the new public streets and alleys. The new public right-of-way will provide on-street parking opportunities. Bus service is close by on Southeast Stark, and there is the MAX line located on East Burnside. There will be new sidewalks for pedestrian use within the development, and bike lanes are present on East Burnside. Based on all these various factors, it was determined that no impacts requiring mitigation beyond the proposed dedication to infrastructure required to serve the proposal was necessary. Next, for rights of way, there's lots of different rights of ways proposed for this review. In terms of connectivity requirements, there will be the new north-south public street, and this exhibit here submitted by the applicant is intended to demonstrate how that new street will eventually connect to Northeast 134th Place to the north. So currently that right-of-way will terminate at the northern property boundary, and as properties to the north redevelop, eventually the street will continue on. And then the new east-west public pedestrian connections run along the northern property boundary, and those are eventually intended to connect to Northeast 133rd and 136th Avenues. In terms of the public street and pedestrian connection, for existing East Burnside streets, they're required to reconstruct the sidewalk corridor. No dedications are required to accommodate those improvements. The new public street, north-south public street, will provide access and parking for the development. And then the pedestrian connection will serve as street frontage for lots 17 through 32. The two private alley tracks that are proposed will provide all of the vehicle access for each lot. They're 22 feet in width, which will accommodate fire department access and turnaround if necessary as well. And those tracks will meet all of the requirements of the private street administrative rule. For services and utilities, the site is located within the Rockwood Water District. There will be a new 8-inch water main within the north-south public street and 6-inch water mains within the private alley tracks. For sanitary sewer, there will be new 8-inch mains in the public street and private alley tracks. So there will be easements located over those tracks to accommodate those sewer and water mains. For stormwater management, there'll be individual infiltration facilities for each of the lots. And then for the public right-of-ways and the alley tracks, there will be sedimentation manholes with dry wells for infiltration of stormwater from those improvements. And then for the public pedestrian connection, stormwater will be accommodated by a vegetated area on either side of the new sidewalk in that right-of-way. So staff is recommending approval of this subdivision for 32 lots. For attached houses, a new public street, pedestrian connection, and private alleys. That will be subject to various conditions for sidewalk improvements, dedication improvements of the public street and pedestrian connection, new private alleys, sewer and water main extensions, as well as fire bureau conditions. And that's the conclusion of my presentation.
Thank you, sir. This will be the time and the place. I have no questions. This will be the time and the place for the applicant or applicants represented. If you come forward, if there's two of you, you can take both seats. If there's one of you at a time, that's great. First name, last name, spell your last name. Give us a mailing address, please.
Sarah Radelet, last name R-A-D-E-L-E-T, P.O. Box 90833, Portland, Oregon 97290. I'm with Strata Land Use Planning, and I'm representing the applicant. And we don't actually have anything else to add at this time. We're in support of staff's recommendation, and so we support staff's report.
All right.
Unless there's any questions for us.
No, not at this time. Thank you. Anyone who wishes to testify in support of, in favor of, thinks this is a good idea? Anyone then who is in the opposition? Remember, my opposition definition was huge and expansive. All right. Is there anyone here has concerns, questions, issues? No? Really? Okay. Staff? Any final comments?
Anything else to add?
Ms. Radelet, anything further? Okay, you want to come up forward just for a sec? All right. I haven't had one of these in a while.
Nor have I.
The last few I've had have not been anywhere close to this. All right. Since there's been no opposition, I'm going to ask Mr. Williams, is there anything in the record that would suggest that this has been opposed? This application has been opposed?
No, I didn't receive any comments.
All right. And Mr. Radley, are you aware of anything in the record that would indicate opposition to this proposal?
No, we did the neighborhood contact. The neighborhood didn't need to meet with us. And as Mr. Williams said, there was no comments received in response to the application.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Radley, this is going to sound repetitious and redundant, and I'm sure, but you've actually heard me do this before.
Maybe. Yeah.
Have you read the staff report?
I have.
Have you read it carefully?
Carefully, very carefully.
All right. Did you pay any attention to the approval language and the conditions?
Yes.
Did you look at the conditions well enough that you can tell me that there's been no there's been no concerns or you don't have any concerns or suggested changes to the conditions of recommended conditions of approval?
No, I reviewed the conditions very carefully and they seem pretty standard and we're comfortable with them.
All right. So what that means is that since we've closed the testimony, that I'm going to consider this is an uncontested case, and so I only have one more question. Do you have any objections that I use the staff report as the basis of my decision?
We support that.
All right. So what just happened was a very technical thing that means that I don't have to do very much. I'm basically going to issue a decision that says that the staff report is what everyone agrees with. And so I'm going to approve the proposal, and it will have the conditions. It will actually have the staff report as my decision, okay? The reason that I ask the applicant is I don't want any questions later that I approve something that they didn't like, because I'm more than willing to make a decision, yay, up or down, or left or right, doesn't matter. But if I don't make a decision, I want to make sure that Mr. Williams' decision or his recommendation is what we agree with. What it means is the decision will probably go out a few days earlier than otherwise it would have if I'd had to write a decision. It also means that if anybody here has ulterior motives that they want to appeal this to City Council, since there's been no objections, you may not be able to do that successfully, because you may not have what's called standing, because nobody's objected to this. So I'm going to issue my decision based on an uncontested case basis. With that, I wish you well on the application, and we'll close the hearing. And if I had my gavel, we'd close it. Thank you.
Thank you.